Well, we've been taking a look at the rapture of the church for a number of weeks now. And we're going to continue this morning, and we may get through. We'll see how it goes. But I want to talk about the challenge of the rapture. Because of the glorious event of the rapture of the church, and it is a glorious event, by the way. I mean, when you just think about it. We're going to be transformed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. When you think about it, it just seems beyond what our minds are able to handle. But it's not beyond what God's able to handle. He's able to do it, and it's nothing. It's nothing to Him. It's just like spoken word, speaking the creation into existence. But because of this glorious event, believers are instructed to do many things. And I want us to take a look at these things this morning as we look at the challenge of the rapture. Look at Hebrews 10, first of all. Hebrews chapter 10. And we will be turning to quite a bit of Scripture this morning. So I trust you'll keep your Bibles handy and turn with us. And if you're not able to turn, write them down. Go back and look at them later. I know sometimes I go a little faster than some of you can turn. And I don't like a lot of dead space on my recordings. So sometimes I don't give as much time as probably you would like. Yeah.
That's the last two weeks
there.
Okay.
Right. Now what I'm giving you right now, you don't have a handout for it. Okay. That handout there is for what we have already covered. And I had promised everybody that, and I finally got around to fulfilling the promise. I had good intentions, just didn't have the time. I had another one of those weeks this week, too. Wednesday night, I got sick really, really bad. And I was sick all day Thursday. Been 2.5 years since I had one of my gastrointestinal attacks, and when I was in the pulpit Wednesday night, I could feel it coming on. I was belching the sour stomach, and I said, "Oh no, you know it's gonna hit." Normally it hits during the middle of the night, and but I praise God that it wasn't as bad as it has been in the past. I didn't get to the point of throwing up. I got the anti-nausea medicine in me a lot quicker this time, and it was able to take hold. But I did have a very, very rough day on Thursday. But I appreciate your prayers. I know some of you pray for me every day, and I appreciate that. And the Lord was gracious to me, and I'm able to be here this morning, feeling fine. Okay, feeling fine this morning. Praise God. The challenge of the rapture. First thing I want us to see is that we are to attend the services of the Lord regularly and exhort each other to do so also. Hebrews 10:25. This has to do with His coming. Look at verse 24. Hebrews 10:24 says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more," and here it is, "as you see the day approaching." What's he talking about? The day approaching. The day of the coming of the Lord. You see the day of Christ, the day of the Lord begins with the rapture of the church, when we're called out of here. Now, we see that we are to not forsake the assembly. Unfortunately, we live in a day and time when church attendance is on the wane. It's not on the rise. People are more hit and miss about their church attendance. Folks who used to be faithful no longer, and some of them are no longer faithful. I thank God for our faithful folks, that those of you that are here all the time. I praise God for you, because it's a It's what we're supposed to do. You know, we're to come together. So much the more as you see the day approaching. And we're to exhort one another. You know, when you see somebody's not here, you need to call them up. Or when you next time you see them, hey, we missed you in church. Hey, now, when you notice somebody's been out on a regular basis, hey, come on, let's get back in church. Exhort them. Exhort them. Why? Because, we want to be right when the Lord comes back. Amen. We ought to want to be. We ought to want to live right, be right. And what, suppose the Lord came back during the time of one of our church services and you were home watching TV or you were out doing something else that you think was more important than being in church that night. You know? That's what I'm saying. We're to attend the services of the Lord regularly and exhort each other. Also, I'll take this opportunity to mention tonight, we're going to partake of the Lord's table as we normally do on Easter Sunday evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, and I mention this again tonight as we do this. Trust that you'll be in the service this evening. I'm going to be preaching on the blood of Christ, a portrait of the blood of Christ. But we are to observe the Lord's table with the rapture in mind. Yes, we look back to His death, burial, and resurrection, but we're to do it until the Lord comes. Notice verse 26 says, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come." So we are to observe the Lord's Supper with the rapture in mind. We're looking forward to the Lord Jesus coming back. Why is this so important? Well, you know, as I've mentioned many times before, the Lord's table, I believe, is an opportunity that God gives us to examine our hearts, examine our lives, and see, are we where we need to be? Some people forego the Lord's table and say, well, it's just not that important. You know, I'm not going to go. And they're hurting themselves when they're not here for the Lord's table because we always mentioned, you know, we need to think about where we're at in our lives. We need to get things right and keep short accounts with God. And this gives us an opportunity to get those things right with God and get it right and partake of the Lord's table and think of His death, burial, and resurrection and think of His soon coming again. We're reminded of the broken body. We're reminded of the shed blood. But we also ought to be reminded He is coming again. Amen. So, this is another challenge of the rapture. Look at 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. First Thessalonians chapter number 3, verse number 12 and 13. First Thessalonians 3, verse 12 says, "And the Lord make you increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming." There it is, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. Now, we are to love believers. We're to love all men. Establish our hearts. We can't be established if we are not abounding in love toward the saints of God and abounding in love toward all men. And it's what we've been called to. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 11 that it was He was talking about how it's our badge of discipleship. It's how people know that we are His by the love that we have one toward another. And it's sad in a lot of churches, there's a lot of strife and things that not pleasing to the Lord that are going on between believers in a church, the Lord would have us to be at peace one with another and to love one another and to put one another before our own thoughts and our own desires. So we're to love believers and we're to love all men. Look at, you might hold your place there. We'll be back in 1 Thessalonians 4 in just a minute. We're doing these in particular order. But we will be back in just a minute to that same very area. But look at James chapter number 5. James chapter number 5. James 5 and verse number 8. And here's what we see here. We're to be patient and establish our hearts. Anybody else have a problem with patience? Yeah. We live in a society that's used to having it now. You know, we want it now. We got the fast food. We got the microwave. Well, we had the microwave until it bit the dust last night. We thought the thing was going to catch on fire, blowing smoke last night. I told her I thought it was giving up the ghost because it was taking longer for things to heat up in there, and surely it went out. So, but we're used to the microwave. We're used to the fast food. We're used to right now. Want it right now. But we are to be patient and establish our hearts, according to James 5:8. Look at what it says. So be ye also patient and establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Establish means to set fast, to turn resolutely in a certain direction. And the Lord wants us to be turned resolutely toward Him in our hearts and what His desires for our life is. Look at 1 John. 1 John chapter number 2 and 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John 2:3. Here's what we want to see, another challenge of the rapture, is that we are to abide in the Lord and live unto Him. Now, we know that Jesus wants us to abide in Him. He says as much in John chapter 15. But look at what it says here in 1 John 2 and verse 28. Apostle John writes here, he says, "And now, little children, abide in Him." Notice that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. So, our abiding in Him has to do with our confidence in His coming. You know, when He comes, that we won't be ashamed. Notice, look at chapter 3, verse 1 through 4 here. Verse 1 through 3. So, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." So it's talking about His appearance and the transformation that's going to take place. It's mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 of how this mortal is going to put on immortality, right? And how this flesh that we live in is going to be changed to be just like Jesus. So notice verse 3. "And every man that hath this hope," what hope is he talking about? The Lord appearing and being like the Lord. "Every man that hath this hope in Him purifies himself even as He is pure." We ought to want the change that takes place when we are out of here. We ought to want it to be as little as possible. We ought to want to become more and more like the Lord each and every day. Every day ought to be a little closer walk with Jesus, a little more abiding in Him. And so we are to abide in the Lord and live unto Him. Look at Titus. It also talks about it in the little book of Titus, chapter number 2. Titus, chapter number 2. And verse number 12 and 13. Titus 2, verse 12. Let's back up to verse number 11 to get context here. Titus 2, verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us. What's doing the teaching? The grace of God. Okay. Grace of God teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope. See, the grace of God teaches us to look for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So, we're to abide in the Lord and we're to live unto Him, looking for His coming. And I often say we're to be looking for His coming. We're to be longing for His coming. And we ought to love His coming. But sadly, we know that when the Lord comes back, it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah. They knew not until the flood came and took them all away what was going on. There's a lot of folks who are not looking for the coming of the Lord. And we need to be looking. Amen. Now back to 1 Thessalonians 4. And this goes with what we've been talking about with regard to the pre-tribulation rapture. Which to me is one of the main arguments for a pre-tribulation rapture is that it brings comfort. Amen. If we're going through the tribulation period, not much comfort, is there? Look at 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. We're to exhort one another and comfort one another with the words of the matter of the Lord's coming back. He's coming back. And we don't know when, but Paul was expecting it in his day. I mean, when you take a look at his verbiage here, the way his wording, then we which are alive. Who's he talking about? He's talking about himself. He's talking about Thessalonian church. You know, if the Lord was to come back during that time, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So I believe that the Apostle Paul was actually looking for it in his day, based upon the way that he worded things when he wrote about the coming of the Lord. Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. And this challenge is that we're to be concerned with heaven or with heavenly things. Okay. Colossians 3, verse number 1 through 4 here. And we, of course, today is Resurrection Sunday. And one of the things we ought to do is realize Christ arose from the grave. We're risen in Him. See? We're risen in Christ. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ, talking about those that are saved, seek those things, notice, which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. He's talking about heavenly things. Seek the things which are above. Set your affections on things above, and yet your affection is your mind or your love. We could say it ought to be on the things of God, the heavenly things, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. What do you mean we're dead? We died to those old things. We died to the things that our flesh used to be guided by. We died in Christ. When He was nailed on the cross, He took our place. We died in Him just as much as we are risen with Him. And that's what He means. Your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, see, when He rose from the grave, see, according to 1 Corinthians 15, because He rose, we're going to rise, right? And He's the first fruits. I think it's 1 Corinthians 15:22 talks about Him being the first fruits. Christ first, then we which are alive at His coming. You know? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. So we're to be concerned with heaven. And we get so caught up with things on this earth sometimes that it's so easy to be so earthly minded that we're no heavenly good. Yeah. And then Jude, the little book of Jude. Right before the book of Revelation, the little book of Jude. Verse 21, Jude 21. And this has to do with we're to fulfill the Great Commission. We're to be concerned for the souls of others. Verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So, yeah, it's tied to the Lord's coming there in verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy. Now, if you ask me, that points to a pre-tribulational rapture. And the Lord's going to be merciful to get us out of here, not appointed us to wrath, right? Another good thing. Now, this last one has to do with men of God, such as myself, preachers. And we're familiar with 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, in light of the Lord Jesus' coming, Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 1 and 2, he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So, Brother Jerry, why do you study like you do and preach like you do and try to, you know, exhort the way, you know, sometimes I think some folks get weary that some of the things I keep repeating over and over again that are so important that it seems like it's just not sticking. It goes in one ear and out the other. And I keep saying it, hoping that one of these days it's just going to stick, you know. It's going to stick. But it's because I'm going to give an account. You're the flock that the Lord has given to me at this time to take and to watch over. 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter 5 in verse number 2 through 4 talks about that I'm to feed the flock of God. It says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, as it's tied to His appearing, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. I'm the minister in light of the coming of the Lord. He's coming one day. Amen. So, that's the challenge of the rapture. And we've got time to move on a little bit here. Let's take a look at the effect of the rapture. What's going to be the reaction of a sin-sick society when so many folks suddenly disappear? You think about that for just a moment. You think there might be massive manhunts? Certainly the believers will be missed. It's evident from the Bible that the sudden disappearance of both Enoch and Elijah, who were two Old Testament types of the rapture, caused considerable confusion and alarm among their friends. Listen to the words of Hebrews 11, verse number 5. It says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Listen to these words. And was not found. That means somebody was looking, right? He was not found because God had translated him. Enoch was doubtless the object of a great manhunt. The scriptures also describe later the translation of Elijah. Look at 2 Kings chapter number 2. 2 Kings chapter number 2. And look at verse 16 and 17. Now, here what we're going to see is this describes the citizens of Jericho asked Elisha about the disappearance of his master Elijah. Remember Elijah and Elisha? Okay. Here it says in verse number 16, it says, and they said unto him, behold now, there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. And he said, ye shall not send. And when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, send. And they sent therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days, but found him not. Remember, Elijah was taken up in the whirlwind? Well, they said, hey, well, let's go look for him. So let's go see where the Lord. The Lord obviously had him cast somewhere. No. He went to be with the Lord. So it's possible that there will be massive manhunts as family members, friends, co-workers, acquaintances literally vanish out of thin air. We need to consider that we have family that's not saved. You know, they're going to be looking for us. They're going to have questions about what happened. Will they know from your testimony what happened to you? Confusion. How much more confusion and alarm will come from the sudden and mysterious disappearance of literally millions of men, women, boys, and girls? Yeah. Think there'll be some confusion going on in the world? This world's got enough confusion as it is, don't it? But you think about the disappearance of all these folks. Think about how people in our society are being... they're literally being... primed to accept some certain things. Okay? Will a disappearance be blamed on an invasion from outer space? Yeah, seriously. There's a book that I have in my library that dealt with this very particular thing. Alien Invasion was the name of it. And it spoke about how all this sci-fi that people are so enamored with, Star Wars and Star Trek and the aliens and this and that, really priming, Hollywood has the world primed to accept this as an alternative. But you think about the disasters that are going to take place. You know, if you got some saved airline pilots, the airplane crashes, no doubt the automobile wrecks, people driving down the road that know the Lord, taken out suddenly. Can you imagine? Train wrecks, nuclear accidents, financial disaster. We're not told what all will take place, but I guarantee you it's going to be a time of confusion because that's what the Antichrist is going to be able to step in. He's going to be the man with the answer, the man with the plan. Hey, now, hey, don't worry. I got it all taken care of. It's also interesting to note that life insurance policies can't be collected on until a person's been missing at least 7 years. Think about that. 7 years. After 7 years, you can have them declared dead if you can't figure out what happened to them. And then and only then can you collect on the life insurance. But you think about key employees are going to be missing from large corporations, possibly. Think about the confusion that's going to cause. In Wall Street, you think Wall Street will be affected? The stock market? Not only key employees will be possibly missing, but disasters will possibly bankrupt insurance companies. Been on the brink of being bankrupt anyway. So you think about disaster, you think about utter chaos. The world will no doubt be looking for a stabilizing world leader to bring order to the chaos. Enter the Antichrist. It will be prepared to accept this one who will have answers immediately, but then will be unfolded to be the one is spoken in the Scripture. Well, when's the rapture going to take place? Well, the rapture is imminent. Imminent means there's nothing that must take place in order for it to happen. As we saw in 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul's very wording, we can see that he was looking for the rapture in his day and encouraged the Thessalonians and the Corinthians to look for the Lord in their day. Right? Possibly the Lord could have come. Now, the signs of the second coming mean it can't be long. And we're going to study this in a later study, but consider that these, there's only 7 years from the rapture to the second coming. If the signs of Jesus' second coming are already beginning to come to pass, surely the rapture can't be far away, right? You're already beginning to see some of the other signs. And we know that no one knows for sure when the rapture will be. People have tried to make calculations and have failed. I don't care how much sense their calculations make. I know there have been several books that have been out that where people tried to make those calculations and say, well, we got this from the Bible. One thing they didn't get from the Bible is that we can the Bible tells us nowhere that we can calculate the time. It says no man knoweth the time. Men have made calculations that have failed. Men have made guesses that have failed. Men have made prophecies that have failed. Men have had visions that have failed. When's the Lord going to come back? When He gets good and ready. When the fullness of time has come. When the fullness of time has come. And we can only be certain that He will come. And the question we need to have is, are we ready? And say, well, I'm saved and on my way to heaven. Yeah, but are you ready for His coming? Okay. Are you really ready? Have you considered that any moment you could be standing before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to give an account of your life? So let's keep these things in mind. Amen. Well, we're done with the rapture. Okay. Took five weeks there. We'll move on from there, and we'll begin to take a look at the tribulation period. And I can't tell you how long we'll be in there. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank You so much for the time we've had in the Sunday school hour this morning. Lord, we just thank You for the blessed hope. We thank You for the comfort that comes from knowing that at any moment You could appear. And Lord, help us to live right. To be looking for Your coming, living for Your coming, and longing for Your coming. Lord, I pray that You might be with us in the morning service. We look forward to this Resurrection Sunday. Lord, You know the hearts that will be here. You know the people that will come. I know many people have been invited. And Lord, I pray that some will come. I pray that all will come. But Lord, when they don't come, help us not be disappointed too much. But just be glad that we are being obedient and trying to see that others come and asking and somebody tell us yes and then not show. It's so easy to get disappointed. And Lord, help us to just take comfort in that we are being obedient and that You see these things. Lord, we just pray that you'd work in hearts today. If there's somebody that comes that's lost in need of salvation, I pray they'll come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Lord, just speak to each heart today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.